Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Matthew Richo Richardson, the Tiger superstar and legend, not far away. But in 25 years of doing this show, I've almost always respected people's political views by keeping the show about sport and sport alone. But sometimes sport and politics are so intrinsically linked that it's unavoidable. And this is one of those occasions, for the grand final is arguably, with the Melbourne Cup, our two most important sporting events and family days. So given the restrictions on barbecues and the like, it was a step way too far yesterday that the COVID crisis cabinet could sit around the table and come up collectively, everything's collective up there it seems, with the decision to allow 500 owners and 500 guests to go to Moonee Valley when most of us are being locked in our homes or locked away from funerals, weddings and the like. Well, Martin Pakula, who listens to the program, and Dan Andrews, what about the grand final? We've already spoken at length a month ago about the grand final and the barbecues associated with it. Well, the Cox Plate is an important race, but it has nothing on the impact that the grand final day has on your average Victorian, young and old. What about the 500,000 Geelong and Richmond supporters out there, Premier, who may for the very last time get a chance to enjoy the thrill of a grand final and maybe even a victory and want to do it with family and a few friends? What about the 500,000 families locked away in Melbourne inside the Ring of Steel who want to enjoy the sacred grand final day together and potentially can't do it with those outside the ring or outside the 25-kilometre radius? Premier, what about making a decision on behalf of all of us rather than the lucky 500 and bring forward Sunday's easings of restrictions to allow people to enjoy the event together? Now, for months we've been told you are following the best scientific advice, and yet yesterday and today you backflipped on the Cox Plate for political reasons alone. Well, Premier, backflip again and give the average person a crack. And instead of turning us all into criminals on grand final day, which you surely will, gathering to watch the grand final, work out a reasonable number that we can all adhere to, that can congregate in backyards around the state to celebrate not only the grand final, but Sunday's easing of restrictions a day early. Surely, Premier, the supercomputer would agree 12 hours is going to make FA difference at all. Welcome to you, Scoop. Any news?
Hello, Jared. Well, the news is you, I think, at the moment. It's the first time I've heard you get political on the Sports Day, or the formerly known Sports Day. You're obviously pretty passionate.
This is about the grand final.
No, of course.
It's a sporting issue.
100% it is.
And if they were prepared to give special consideration for a horse race that doesn't have anywhere near the impact it does of a grand final, then give some bloody consideration to the grand final.
Yeah, I mean,
and the numbers allow that, Scoop. Let's be honest.
Jared,
the numbers allow that.
You and I are in total agreement on that. I mean, the counter-argument to what you're saying when you compare the grand final and the Cox Plate is that they were talking about a few hundred people at an outdoor venue as a once-off, as opposed to every single household in the state having people over. But I'm with you. I want to have people over to my house on Saturday. I want to go to people's houses on Saturday. I don't want to watch the grand final by myself. No one
How'd you
does.
Like to be a policeman knocking on somebody's door? There's five
Shocking.
People there having a barbecue watching the Tigers.
Yeah.
They won't answer the door. If the Tigers are 3 points down and there's 4 minutes of play remaining, the coppers won't be interested in the how many people there.
That's not the Premier, is it?
Former Carlton and Collingwood player and Sydney Swan, Craig Davis. David, not a great time to call. But
the
Premier's got 48 hours.
Yeah, that's the
Make
I was about
a good
to say,
call.
You've got 48 hours to change our mind. I don't think it will be changed, unfortunately, but geez, we're hoping for it. But let's welcome in this man because it's a special, special day, the grand final day, particularly when the Richmond are playing.
Righto, Richo, you've got pull up at Spring Street. You know Martin Pakula. If they can give special consideration to a horse race that runs for about 3 minutes, surely you can pull a couple of strings and get the Premier to make a smarter call than the one he has.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people couldn't believe that, could they, yesterday when the news came through about 1,000 people at Moonee Valley, and immediately everyone thought, hang on, what's going on here? You know, we want to go and see our family and friends more than 20 km away. We want to be able to have a family, friends over to our house to watch the grand final. So, yeah, the backflip came pretty quickly. So, yeah, wouldn't it be great just to even one other family to be able to come around and enjoy the grand final on Saturday, particularly if they're going to ease restrictions in the following days after the grand final. It just seems
to... Beggars belief if that's like, happen. And the numbers tell feel you like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. And it does look that way. It just feels like there's a bit of salt being rubbed in. We've done such a good job to get the numbers down to where they are. And I know people will say that's the reason why you don't have grand final barbecues. But if we can be trusted to do it as quickly as we have this time, surely we can be trusted to have another family over to watch the GF with.
When the numbers are below New South Wales and other states, governed by sides of left and right persuasion, so it's not a political left and right scenario. This is just purely a Victorian-based issue. We have got license, I think, or the supercomputer, Richo, has given us the license, or given Dan Andrews a license to make a smarter call than the one he did today.
Yeah, I'd love to have a friend and their kids around to watch the Tigers Saturday night, but I'm not getting my hopes up.
No, I don't think any of us, Richo. I'll tell you the other thing, Jared and Richo, is that we saw what happened last year on Swan Street after the Tigers smashed GWS, and even a couple of years ago in 2017 when Dustin won the Norman Smith medal. I live just off Swan Street. Like, if Richmond win on the weekend, I shudder to think what is going to happen down Swan Street, down Burnley Street, down Bridge Road. But that's another argument. Richo, always a special week, grand final week, even more special when your Tigers are playing. Are they better placed this year than they were last year?
That's a good question. Better placed? I think they're as well placed. I think they've timed their run really well, as have the Cats. I mean, you just look at the way they've got their players backed, fit and firing, full strength teams at the right time of the year. With all the challenges that they've had, I think both clubs have managed their players beautifully well to get to this point. They're both playing their best football at this point. So it really is set up for an epic grand final. I think last year going into the grand final, I thought the Giants looked a little bit tired in that last quarter, or they were cooked in that last quarter against Collingwood. And you had the feeling if Richmond just hung in there early, they were going to run away with it. And it's exactly what happened. That's not going to happen this week. I think this will be a grand final that will go right down to the last couple of minutes. And I certainly hope that's the case.
Richard, the big news of the week was Jeremy Cameron. It floored us all, flattened us in some respects, those who love the national competition and in some respects want to see the Giants do well for the code, if not for the players that have, thrown their lot in with the Giants. There's upsides and there's downsides to being part of it. But it seems that the Cats are pretty much a club that a lot of people want to get to, and they've got a lot of advantages going for them. The once Sleepy Hollow, as they've done a great job marketing it and have become a club of destination. Paddy Dangerfield's gone back home. The southwest coast is a magnificent place to live. The economics of living there is a lot cheaper than here in Melbourne, and certainly a lot cheaper than Sydney, etc. The fishing and the surfing are two elements that certainly attract a large proportion of players. And in particular for Jeremy, it does appear as if the bluefin tuna may have been a significant factor. So one of the secrets of life in the AFL now is to turn your club into a destination club. And it's strange what actually can do that. And if you look at Brisbane, physiotherapy, all of a sudden the holy water that's being dispensed by their physiotherapist has got players with injury wanting to go up there. Clearly, they're a happy family. They've got a coach who has engendered a great atmosphere around it. The Tigers, their success and their, their central position in Melbourne, playing the MCG 18 times, that is also a club that has established themselves as a destination club. But the secret, I think, is coming up with a way to turn yourself into a destination club.
Absolutely. And the thing that Geelong have is they seem to get a lot of the Geelong Falcons boys that gets drafted somewhere else that want to get back to Geelong. They want to get back to that more relaxed atmosphere. Although it's only an hour down the road, it seems to be a big lure. I saw it with Brad Ottens, who was a country boy at Richmond. He just wanted to go to Geelong, live down on the peninsula down there.
And like the surf too, Big
he
Brad.
Loved it. Yeah, Big Otto loved the relaxed lifestyle. And that's what you've got to make your club become. And I mean, Richmond wasn't a destination club for a lot of years because they weren't successful. But now that they are, the MCG G factor. The central location is a factor. You can live anywhere in Melbourne if you play for Richmond, if you're going in to train at Punt Road every day. So that's definitely a factor. And, you know, Sydney had that lure. Players that didn't like the fishbowl of Melbourne yep. walking down the street being recognised. You could go up to Sydney and play for the Swans and not get recognised. But that's up to your club to build a culture and have the success so that players want to come to your club. And Geelong clearly has that. Hawthorn had it for a number of years.
It's amazing how quickly it can turn. The appointment of Ratten and the bold Saints, recruitment, half a dozen players.
Which is continued today, by the way, which we'll get to later.
Brett.
A couple today. All of a sudden, the Saints have got a little bit of attractability about themselves.
Yeah, because Brett Ratten is publicly coming out and talking regularly about wanting to be an attacking team. You watch them play, that you can see that they want to do that. They want to score. Playing finals obviously helps, and Rats just gives off that persona, and I'm sure that when he has interviews with players, straight away they want to play for him. So you need your coach to be sellable as well, and there's no doubt Brett Ratten is, and the Saints play an attacking brand of footy. Players are going to want to go there now.
So the big challenge for Essendon, because right now they wouldn't be seen as a destination club, and they're a big, powerful club with a great history. If you're Ben Rutten, how do you get down to basics and get that club turned around so they exude a more happy presence, if you like, and players all of a sudden want to get there?
Well, I guess you go out and they've got a fantastic facility out. I mean, a lot of the clubs do now, but you go out to the hangar out at Tullamarine. It is a great facility. You walk around there and you've just got to be able to sell your club and have that culture.
It's a long way out, Richo.
Yeah, it is. And that's out. Probably...
Oh, please, Jared. Of course it is. I mean, but players these days, it is far out.
It is a factor.
You'd rather drive 5 minutes to Punt Road or to Collingwood than have to get on the freeway.
You are such a CBD. What about the guys down in Moorabbin? What about
Jared,
the guys down at Geelong?
It's just... I'm just telling you what the players think. I'm not a CBDer. I'm just a young, soft person. And the young softies of our generation don't like sitting in a car for 45 minutes in traffic, Richo.
Oh, no. Well, I know what you're saying. But
I don't think anybody likes doing that.
It's not just about success, but it obviously does help. But there's only been one. Tom Lynch is the only big-name free agent that's left a club and gone and won a premiership. So it's not happening as much as some people would have you believe. Now, Jeremy Cameron getting to Geelong, clearly they'll probably still be in the window this year. You know, obviously a chance to win the premiership on Saturday night. And, you know, Ablett retires, but they're still going to be a very good team next year. So that's the lure for him. But he's been part of a successful club. He's been playing finals every year, every way. So it's not just about success for Jeremy. Clearly, it's about family and getting back to an environment he loves.
So you're saying that Essendon should go to Port Melbourne, so everybody go to Bay 101 and get a coffee.
I am telling you that there is no doubt that Essendon being a Tullamarine plays on players' minds about coming out here. And by the way, Dylan Scheel, who is coming on our show later, could talk to that, because I think he makes the commute from beachy Brighton,
does
Jared.
He?
Down your neck of the woods.
Should have gone to Moorabbin then.
Well, I think they were pretty keen to get him. Anyway, we have got a bit of trade news coming up as well, because there's been a bit of movement and it involves the Saints. We'll get to that and more with Matthew Richardson on Sports Day after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
These trade news.
Yes.
And there is a little bit about...
Certainly is. So Brad Crouch today has chosen St Kilda. Now, this is very interesting because it was well discussed, Richo, that he was going to be on his way down to the Cattery. Patrick Dangerfield, a close friend of his, but I think Jeremy Cameron coming in has probably changed that. They're not going to have the cash for absolutely everyone. He's going to go to the Saints on a four-year deal with a trigger for a fifth at around the $600,000 a year mark. That's about $300,000 shy of what he was asking to go to the Saints and the Suns this time last year. So his value's come down, not really because of the off-field incident, I don't think. I think just the fact that he's been injured and...
He was never a $900,000 player.
Okay, no. Yeah, and that's exactly right. So he'll join the Saints. I also think that Jai Caldwell from GWS is leaning towards the Saints at the moment. Now, he has a four-year deal on the table from the Saints,
yep.
A four-year deal on the table from the Giants, and a five-year deal on the table from Essendon. So he's got a choice of three. And just before you ask, Richo, where you'd go if you were Jai Caldwell, Kyle Hardigan, he is committed to Hawthorn for 2021. So that exodus from the Crows from 12 months ago continuing a little bit.
You heard the nominations, A, B or C, if you were Jai Caldwell. Essendon, St Kilda or the Giants? Richo.
Well, it's clear that he probably wants to leave. So
He's not getting a game, is he, Richo? Sorry to cut you off, but he just wants opportunity.
Yeah, he wants opportunity, so it's down to two. Look, right at this stage, I would say St Kilda, they look well placed. I've talked about Brett Ratten. He's a proven coach. His players love him. They want to play attacking footy, and that's the sort of brand you'd want to be involved in. So I think St Kilda would be ahead of the pack there.
You agree with that, Jared? I mean, it'd be pretty hard to pick Essendon over St Kilda right now on the surface.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if the money's the same, I mean, one club is heading north and one club on the surface of it is heading south. Dylan Scheel, hopefully, to convince us otherwise in the second half of the hour. Richo, it does appear to me, though, that there is some sort of awakening that Geelong has got a really good model. I think Hawthorn had the model right throughout their premiership era. That once you start overpaying players, in particular to expansion clubs, and there is a balance because they had to overpay them initially to keep them. But if that's the only way and the only reason they're staying, then you are ultimately creating a major problem for yourself. And I think it's a problem also in clubs paying big, big dollars on long-term contracts, even for Melbourne-based clubs.
Yeah, it is. And we've seen that a little bit, haven't we, in recent times with Collingwood and the talk around Adam Treloar and perhaps them parting ways. You do have to be very careful when you sign 6-7 year deals because players can have 1 or 2 years where they really play to the top of their ability and then it can tail off. And if you're paying them for that top end for 7 years, it's really hard to maintain. Only the very good players maintain it for a long time, like your Pendlebury's, your Martins, and players like that. They can maintain that rage for 7, 8, 9 years, but only the very elite players do that. So you do have to be careful you don't pay them too much for too long.
Well, I might try and get a list manager on or somebody that's been in the business tomorrow because the structure of how you pay, let's say Geelong, Paddy Dangerfield, how you pay Selwood and how you graduate those down the tree.
With your tiers of payments of players.
How you keep that as against, it would appear, the Giants, for instance. They initially had to sign Jeremy Cameron about 5 years ago to keep him and they paid him over the top, in my view. And that's come back to haunt them because then the next tier of player all wanted around $1 million. And if you've got half a dozen players on $1 million and you're not winning premierships, you end up with a problem.
I guess the difference is, before you go, Richo, is that the Tigers have a very similar model, Jared, but they win flags. And so guys then sign for less after the fact.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
The Tigers have, I reckon, pay their best five players probably upwards of 850, 900 grand a year, and Dusty, you know, well over $1 million, which he's earned every cent.
Mm.
But that only works to a certain point, doesn't it, Jared and Richo, that if that's not proving successful, then players will seek to move.
And therein is the problem, Richo, just to put this to you before you get your final answer. That's the problem with the Giants.
Yep.
Because no one barracks for the Giants,
no doubt.
In essence. They haven't got a history. This group of players were, I guess, paid in many respects and charged with building that history. And so the go-home factor is a huge lure, whether it be to West Australia or back to Melbourne or wherever.
Exactly. There's always going to be a go-home factor for these guys. And after 7, 8 years of being loyal to a club and putting in the hard work, there's going to come a time where, yeah, perhaps you do want to leave and come back. And that's the problem that certain teams are always going to face, in particular the new expansion teams. And, you know, guys from Victoria or South Australia or Western Australia, they're always maybe at the end of their careers going to want to get back home. And that's the problem that you do have. But at the end of the day, if you're not winning premierships and you're not successful like Geelong have been for such a long time now, you're never, ever going to be always a destination club. And Geelong have been now for 14 or 15 years. Hawthorn were for just about the same period of time. You have to have sustained success for players to want to keep coming to your club.
And, Richo, it changes really quickly. You know, we could talk about ifs and buts until we're blue in the face. But if Richmond didn't win the flag last year, you know, so they got the one in 17, then they lost the prelim to Collingwood in 18, and then Lynch comes. So all of a sudden you've got Dusty on well over $1 million, you've got Lynch on huge money, you've got Cochin and Presty earning big money, you've got Rance at the time earning really big money. If you don't win that flag last year and then you're in another grand final, it can change really quickly as to players say, well, I could get bigger money going elsewhere. Now, at Richmond, Jared, it's, well, I want to stay here because it's a great club with a great culture and I'm a chance of winning another flag.
And that's the challenge that Hawthorn's got. I mean, they've still got the same attractability given that the great Alistair Clarkson is still coaching them. Got a great facility, but they're in rebuild.
And you see just in recent days, going into a grand final, you see Nankervis re-signing for 3 years. Jack Graham re-signed a few weeks ago.
And, yep. And not, you know, they wouldn't be on big money.
They're not on big money, but they would have been able to get more money if Absolutely. They did leave Richmond.
Yeah, they've created an amazing culture there at the Tigers. It's more than just winning flags, it seems, although that probably really helps. It's been a really tough couple of weeks for Essendon, internally and externally, and we've been pretty harsh on them, pretty fair on them, I think, on this program. Dylan Scheel is a guy that obviously made a decision between a few clubs to go to that footy club and earn success. He's going to give us an insider's view on what just has gone on at Essendon. He's going to join us live next on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, as Lee Matthews once put it, Jared, it's never as good as it seems, never as bad as it seems. And it has seemed pretty tough to be an Essendon supporter the last couple of weeks. They are a proud club and a proud team. And one man that made the decision to leave GWS to go to that club is their star All-Australian, Dylan Scheel. And he joins us on the line. Dylan, appreciate you coming on. It's been a tough year for the club so far.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having me on. Tonight, and it's been an interesting chapter of the Essendon journey in the last few weeks, that's for sure.
We were talking, Dylan, earlier in the program about the elements that make you a destination club, and success can be one element, a perceived happiness within the group as another element, geographical positioning down on the Surf Coast or up on the Gold Coast can be another thing. If you were trying to sell your club right now, it would be difficult. Would you agree?
Well, when you put it down to success of a club, then certainly it's a difficult club to sell at the moment. I'm not going to deny that. But, I mean, when it comes to a destination club and wanting to attract players, being through that experience myself in the last 2 years ago, it really comes down to what the individual values and what they want to do in their life. And, you know, I, if you're not that person or within the close circle of that individual, then ultimately everyone else is guessing. So, yeah, like at the moment, I'm really happy with my decision to have joined the Bombers. And I'm sure there's other players that would, you know, also have different values and reasons to join other clubs at a particular time. But probably the most... or the easiest thing to see on whether a club's a destination club or not is, you know, their recent success. And we understand that we're in a win-loss industry. And if you don't win games, it's the club's not that attractive to come to at that time.
But a couple of years ago, you made the call to go there. Devin Smith made the call to go there. Jake Stringer made the call to go there. I mean, there was something bubbling away and it looked as if you were heading north. Now, there's been an exodus of some players, and we're not quite sure where that's going to fall. But if you were charged with selling the Bombers right now to another person who was leaving the Giants, for instance, and you had a bit in common, how would you go about actually convincing him that the Bombers are going to turn this around and turn it around quickly?
Oh, well, to be honest, I'm not really a big believer in selling and, you know, trying to sell false hope. I mean, it's up to the individual what they see in the club and if they think it's part of their journey. For me, I saw something in Essendon that I believed I wanted to be a part of.
Yep.
Where they were at the point in their journey and where I was with mine and the wanting to return back home to Melbourne, it was a club that I thought was going to be good for me. And I still do think it is. I mean, we've gone through a challenging season under some really challenging circumstances that we've never experienced in the history of the game. And we've just got to get through this period. Plenty of clubs have been here before. I've been speaking to a lot of my close mates up at GWS at the moment who are currently going through something similar.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a bigger spotlight on a big Melbourne football club at the moment. And I was fully aware of... you know, the spotlight that's on a big Melbourne club when I arrived here, it comes with it.
Dylan, can you just give us a bit of a reality check of what's actually been happening? Because, you know, the outside view, which is, it always seems worse than it is that, you know, there's a player exodus and everyone's trying to get out and the handover with Worsfold and Rutten didn't work. And, you know, we all love thinking that we know, but ultimately we don't. So just tell us from an insider's perspective what it's actually been like recently?
Oh, look, I understand the speculation and the criticism towards it from someone who is on the outside, and that's fair. Like that's what their job is to do, I guess. And particularly if you're in the media, but internally, we've seen some really good shifts in the direction of, you know, what we're trying to achieve. Unfortunately, it didn't transfer to wins immediately, and we get that people are going to want to critique and assess the present day. But we're a big believer that it does take time to see the effect and to have success off the field transferred on field. And that's definitely been dented a bit with a few guys that are wanting to exit, all for different reasons that they've stated. And the club and the players respect the guys that have decided to want to move on to different opportunities or different parts of their life. All we can do is focus on, you know, what we've got in front of us. We're really excited about the vision that Truck in Ben Rutten is brought to this playing group, and we're really grateful for what John Worsfold and Ben were able to do together this season. So internally, yeah, it looks like it's been a really difficult and challenging time, but we're all very excited as well.
Dill, Matthew Richardson speaking. I took it two questions, but I'll sort of ask it in one question. I think a real positive is that some of your really good players this year and young players have recently re-signed. They're obviously buying into what Ben Rutten is building, and I'm talking of Langford Ridley and Andy McGrath. So they're buying into what Truck's philosophy is and culture is, and can you tell us what they are?
As in, can I tell you what about
his philosophy and the values that he's bringing, the values that obviously Langford, Ridley and McGrath are liking because they've just re-signed?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it's a great sign to have, you know, guys, as you've mentioned, re-signing and committing to the future of the footy club. Obviously come at a really good time to show support, obviously with a few guys that are at the same time deciding to depart. So we're certainly grateful for their commitment. You know, the guys and the club have really enjoyed their progress during their careers and certainly excited for what they can do in the future. I think Ben would have been a really big part on them recommitting to the footy club. You know, he's come from a successful organisation prior to joining Essendon. He's had a terrific career at Adelaide, and he brings a real team-first mentality that's going to require a lot of hard work and accountability in order to get us up the ladder.
Dylan, it's been great that we've been able to chat to you, particularly after the dust has settled. And as Richo said, as a few of these younger guys have started to re-sign. You speak really well on behalf of the club. Clearly, there's some players leaving, but there's a whole lot that are staying and buying into what's happening at Tullamarine. So wherever you are on holiday, our advice would be don't rush back to Victoria anytime soon. But we really appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure every Essendon fan listening has as well. So thank you.
No, guys, thanks for having me. And yeah, like if I could just say, you know, to any Essendon fans out there that are listening, that you know, good things are going to take time, and I just think what a terrific example, you know, with Brendan Gale's message that's has been surfaced lately with his interview on Footy Classified 10 years ago about the 10-year vision that football club put in place, and you know, it was looking pretty shaky for them 6 years into it, and you know, that they stick to the course, and they look like they're going to be able to deliver on that this weekend. So we're certainly we're not trying to emulate any other club here. We are trying to forge our own path as Essendon Footy Club, and you know, we're excited to do it.
Good on you, Dylan. Well spoken, and enjoy the holiday.
Dylan Shield there, Bomber, tipping the Tigers.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. We're about to speak to Simon Black. I'm not sure we're going to get too much time to actually talk about him, Jared, because in order to introduce him, it's probably worth an interview length as well.
He is
a three-time premiership player.
Hog.
Brownlow medalist. Norm Smith medalist. Three-time All-Australian. Three times Merritt Murray medalist.
He's got one with a lot.
He was the captain for 2 years. He's a 300 gamer. He's an absolute star. And I think we've seen him in just about every newspaper. going around with a premiership cup.
He has been everywhere, and my understanding is that one, Lee Matthews, and BT are both really jealous because Blackie's getting all the cashies. No. Welcome to you, Blackie.
G'day, Jared. G'day, Sam. Nice to be with you, boys.
Yeah, you would have been in hot demand for social outings and functions and lunches, etc. I know it's not as busy down here in Melbourne, but lethal. Even Lee Matthews said he's got four, so you must have had half a dozen.
Yeah, look, I mean, to be honest, this great privilege of being a Premiership Cup ambassador. I've been pretty busy, yeah. I've been up to Cairns and taking the cup on a bit of a tour, Jared, around, and that was a real thrill. It was a great thing to be able to do. And I've got a function with Lee in the morning, actually. So there's plenty going on, and I guess there's not too many footballers in southeast Queensland either, is there?
Blackie, I'm not sure that the shoes on the beach is a good look for you.
Did I have shoes on? Did I? I can't remember.
I think you had some sort of shoey type sneaker combination. I'm not sure what it was, but I looked at you and I thought, yeah, I reckon thongs are probably more your go in that environment.
Don't worry about the shoes, Jared. I actually thought the stranger look. Blackie, I wanted to see you give Lockie Neal the Brownlow medal.
Where were you?
Well, you were only a few feet away, weren't you?
No, well, I was there early in the night, and then the Lions had a function on a couple of suburbs away, so I wasn't in the room at the time.
I submit,
but obviously thrilled to see him. He had a great year, didn't he? It was fantastic.
Well, you're a bit saddened by your old club producing one of their worst efforts on prelim final night.
Yeah, I was, Jared. I mean, I guess two elements too. The Lions probably weren't at their best, but on the flip side, gee whiz, Geelong, they were clinical, weren't they? That's that mature, experienced side of theirs. They just found a way to really shut down Brisbane's style of game they like to play. And when Geelong got the ball back, they worked together and worked in good numbers, and they were magnificent. So, you know, it's probably one of those ones, Jerry, if you lose by, you know, a kick or less than a kick, you know, it hurts. But when you're clearly beaten by a better side, I guess it is what it is, and it's fair enough. So, they were mighty to catch the other night, weren't they? So, good luck to them.
Blackie, what have you made of... Jared and I spent a lot of last week talking about the rebuild under Chris Fagan and how one year it just seemed to click. I think he won 9 games in his first 2 years. He's only lost 10 since. Did you think when he took over that they'd be this good this quickly? I know they've still got a fair bit of way to go to actually win the thing, but their rise up the ladder has been unbelievable, really.
Yeah, I mean, look, it has. But if you also look at it as well, Sam, you can go from almost non-competitive to competitive fairly quickly. And I think Brisbane in that 2 year period you mentioned, but they didn't win a whole lot of games. The margins of the losses were really, really quite tight in a lot of their games. So that was really, really evident that improvement was coming. And then last year they obviously had a big spike up the ladder and finished second home and away, and obviously straight sets out. And this year a little bit further. So yeah, I mean, you can say. The great, I guess, the nature of the AFL, you're down the bottom of the ladder, you get a lot of top-end young talent, and Brisbane's been able to retain that. It's been great. The Gold Coast Suns down the road have been able to, you know, do that as well with their list as well. And so that's your foundation to give yourself a chance. And I guess the club's been so fortunate to have Faze come in. He's such a father figure and a great mentor and a friend to the guys. And, well, not a friend, but I guess in some ways he is, but he's just been such a great coach. And The timing's been right, and they're well positioned, I guess, for the next 2 or 3 years because they're quite a young list demographic-wise.
You played in a few grand finals, Solomon. What do you see as the key going in this week? A lot of people want to have their say about the different game styles of the Tigers and the Cats. How do you see it playing out at the Gabba?
Well, it's probably taking your opportunities, isn't it? I mean, really, it's going to be, everyone talks about moments within games and those sorts of things. And I mean, I guess if you just continue to keep applying the pressure and be a really strong defensive side and give yourself a chance to get the ball back. And then a degree of composure going inside forward 50. And just, I think in the big games, just, you know, simple forward set up a structure of, you know, your big forwards flying for the ball and getting ground level representation from your smalls, all those basic things and playing your role. You know, Lee used to talk about it with us. Just, you know, we don't expect anything more from you guys. Just play your role, stay in your lane. And that's all you've got to do. We'll give yourself a chance. So the side that can, I guess, have the most players doing that, you know, it's going to be a hot 40 clearly. But just, it's probably simplified even more. I don't know. What do you think, Jared?
I think you've answered it pretty well.
About just moments not necessarily picking between the two teams, but just who takes their opportunities on the day.
Yeah. I mean, I watched... I've watched a lot of grand finals. I wasn't lucky enough to play in one. And if they're close, it does come down to the moments. I mean, I thought even the Port Adelaide game was a moments game against the Tigers.
Definitely.
I mean, it was just a couple of bad decisions cost them the game.
Yep.
And I go back to that game that you won against Collingwood. It was one moment. I mean, I thought there was a lot of argument whether Buckley was BOG or Michael Voss was BOG. And there was a lot of focus.
This is an 0-1.
Buckley will be able to tell us. There was
0-2.
0-2, sorry.
There was a lot of focus on Michael Voss.
Yep.
But Michael Voss had a great last. He had a good game, but he had a great last 5 minutes. I thought Buckley was clearly best on ground. But that moment in that last quarter, which we play each and every year that grand finals come up, Simon, that was just one of those great grand final moments. And it turned the game.
Yeah, look, it was. It really was. His last quarter was quite something. He kicked amazing goal, didn't he, Vossy, from outside 50 on the run. And Buckley was brilliant as well. But, yeah, it was. It's moments. It's taking those moments. It's kicking. Was it Lambert in the weekends for the Tigers? They kicked that goal from the boundary. Yeah, they deliver out of bounds. I mean, if that's a point, you know, they're kicking it straight up the guts from the kick in. And, you know, you give yourself a better look at it, I guess. It's moments and it's your accuracy. I mean, the Lions as well on the weekend, not that they were probably ever going to win the game, but if Hipwood and Leicester had kept taking their chances to get it back with less than a kick, then, you know, who knows? Is the momentum go back towards them a little bit? And so, yeah, it is the beauty of our game is part of it is the small things and taking opportunities when they exist and holding on to that momentum for as long as you can.
There would have been a lot of moments, Jared, this week in grand final week if it was a normal year at the MCG, the grand final parade, all the festivities that come with it. Not so much this year. Blackie, who have your group back in the famous Brisbane Lions days of the early 2000s, who would have missed these festivities the most? Who would have missed the sunglasses and in the parade and in doing the interviews?
There's only
in
one
the
bloke, isn't there?
Well, let's take Acker out of it.
Okay.
Need I say? I was going to say Pikey, but he's probably post the festivities, post game.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would have enjoyed it?
You would have enjoyed staying away from the limelight, the likes of you
and Luke Brownie. Brownie's a handshaker. Brownie would have missed it. He's a high five,
right,
isn't he?
Yeah. Brownie, he's a showman. He would have loved it. He would have wanted to wrestle a cup off Ossie on the stage there. Acker's a standout. I don't know. I haven't got much for you there.
Did you? I mean, obviously, you look back on those things, Bucky, really fondly in hindsight. But at the time, like, was it a distraction for you? Was it just more nervous energy spent? Like, how did you actually find the different weeks as a builder?
Yeah, it's a really good question. For me, I was probably a little bit overawed my first year, and I found my things like the street parade, energy zapping. It was all, I guess your nervous system gets a bit consumed if you allow it through that week. And through experience, for me, it's a long time ago now, but, you know, you do your more calm the second and the third time around. So, Lee used to talk about just trying to put yourself in the bubble for the week and, you know, turn your phone off and don't get back to everyone wait the second week to get back to run and all those little things that make a difference. But, for me, I remember in 01 against Essendon running out and just sort of being a little bit overawed by the occasion. It's the setting or the scene I'd want to do since a young boy, and to be out there was a little bit surreal. But, once the game gets going it's just another game of footy, you just got to obviously have that aggressive mindset, which I heard Joel Selwood talk about last night on telly around just making sure you're very aggressive early, and that's a real key to obviously the first part of an AFL grand final.
Will the conditions be any different? Well, we think the forecast is going to be some sort of rain. You obviously played all your grand finals in the daytime. It's another change this year. Nighttime grand final, does it make any difference playing at night, playing at day, particularly at the Gabba?
Well, yeah, I guess there's been a bit spoken about the dewiness of the ball. The players are probably pretty well versed in that over their time up here in recent months. There is talk, you're probably aware as well, with potential bit of rain up here.
Yep.
It's just been a bit of rain here this afternoon. The next few days, it looks like there might be a bit of rain. So, we may well get, a wet, slippery ball potentially. And, I imagine if that's the case, you know, the territory game early, just getting boot the ball, the old one-hand ball and kicks probably pretty important in the high-pressure early stakes of an AFL grand final. But hopefully we can get, you know, it doesn't rain and we can be somewhat a dry ball.
I always find it very strange, Jared, when people talk about rain in Queensland. because Lee comes on every week here
yes.
and says it never rains in Queensland.
Well, Brownie, always Brownie, Brownie promised us on the couch perfect weather and an echo wind
actually, he did
to
say that.
Dry out the game. And now you're telling me we've got a front going through. This
hey,
is,
Jared,
this is,
echo was 2 months ago, you can tell Brownie.
Yeah, well.
What are we talking about?
Well, somebody obviously whispered it to him. He wanted to make himself sound like a meteorologist.
Careful, he listens to this
I
show.
I know he
you
does.
Know that.
I know that. That's why I'm being open and honest
I
with
see,
him and
right.
giving him
yeah,
some 360
yeah,
feedback. Who does the wet actually favour, if anybody? I always find this one a bit difficult to work out a rationale. But
that's why you're handballing the question.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a good one. Oh, someone was mentioning it today. I don't know, Jared. Who do you, they're both great inside midfield teams, aren't they?
I suspect it may well be the Tigers because they're probably a better ground ball side yep. than the Cats. That's only a guess.
Mm. Mm. They are. They're great at that aspect of the game, aren't they? They just turn
knock
up
on, kick it on, flip it on.
Yep.
Less marking, less possession. Blackie, have a great celebration over the next couple of days, and you've done a great job sort of making out that you've taken that premiership cup around the nation, despite the fact that I've only seen your photo. I've seen the same photo 1,000 times, I must admit, so you've got good publicity out of this.
Well, we got to take it to this sandbar that appeared off the coast of Cairns by top of about 15 minutes. That was quite stunning.
Awesome.
It was quite amazing. But now, look, in all sincerity, we're all thinking of you Victorians down there and hope you guys can get back to normality fairly quickly. And well done on getting through an extremely tough year.
All class, Blackie. Thanks for coming on. Enjoy the grand final.
Good on you, guys. Always good to chat. Cheers.
Welcome back to Sports 8. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Well, Jared and I had the privilege to talk to Liz Watson, the co-captain of the Melbourne Vixens, for their premiership win on the weekend last night on the show. We're, of course, looking forward to welcoming two Victorian teams playing at the G, different kind of G, Jared,
the Jabba.
The AFL Grand Final, Jabba at the Gabba. We've also got the Melbourne Storm, miraculously, into another Grand Final under Craig Bellamy and Frank Panisi. And, Jared, when we started speaking to Frank at the start of the year, it was lucky that we were going to get two or three rounds in at all,
let alone
a grand final.
We were both stuffed, and it was really only the crystal ball of Frank Panisi that gave us a roadmap forward. By God, I wish he was up in Spring Street sitting around the COVID crisis cabinet committee, because they absolutely need a crystal ball. But let's get to the man who, along with Craig Bellamy, has orchestrated another grand final campaign. Welcome to you, Frank. You would probably not be that nervous because this is what you blokes do down at the Storm. You play grand finals on a very regular basis.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Sam. Never taken for granted, Jared. I think every time you win a prelim, there's a special feeling. And last Friday night was one of those feelings. Probably more rewarding and satisfying than probably most prelims, given what we've gone through this year. It was a really special time on the field and back in the dressing room immediately after that game.
Hey, Jared, when would have been the last time in any sport that a team or individual went in as an underdog on the back of 17 wins in a row?
It would never have happened, surely.
Surely not.
Unless it was Nadal playing or Federer playing Nadal on clay. That's about the only one I can think of. Why do you ask?
Well, the Panthers have won 17 in a row.
Yep.
And I think, Frank, am I right in saying that their first win of that run of 17 was the last time you guys played back in, I don't know, it must have been round 5 or 6.
Yeah, it was actually, Sam. It was about a couple of weeks after the lockdown we resumed. And it was mid-June, and it was actually our last game before we relocated up to Queensland. So it was their first win of a run of 17 weeks, and it was our last game before then we shipped up here for good. So, it was quite interesting evening. But it is interesting. Apparently we are favourites, which I find difficult to believe. I think it's, they're minor premiers, and they're minor premiers by a good long run. And as you said, 17 games straight is one hell of a record. And they're at full strength. We're at full strength. So there shouldn't be much in it.
Oh, Jared, that's why he's one of the masters, Frank. He's been around too long. He's going to just send that ball back into their court. You're not the underdogs. We're the underdogs. You blokes have won 17 in a row. You finished top.
Well, as well as the 17 in a row there, Sam, they'll also have, I'd say, 95% of support of the stadium. So it'll be like a home game for them and very much an away game for us. But we're ready for that. It's not unexpected, but that's certainly the crowd will be behind the Panthers for genuine Panthers supporters. And like I suppose everyone in Sydney, anti-Storm or anti-Melbourne, more to the point, and like to see a Cinderella story. So, but we're hopefully to break a few hearts on Sunday night.
Can I ask you a question without notice? I was talking to Lee Matthews about this, who lives in Queensland, as you know, Frank, and he follows rugby league and the transfer of players pretty closely and how you fill your lists up, etc. Slightly different system to what we've got. You've got a much freer situation, basically having free trade all the time, whereas we've got, you know, our blokes have to have played 8 years before they can trade clubs. And he believes that actually... it actually dampens salary rather than increasing, which ours very much inflates it because only three or four people come out of contract that are in that free agency window, which tends to elevate their price. Do you feel as if it dampens your salary requests, if you like? Because if there's a $500,000 player who wants to be paid $700,000, you let him go and get another $500,000 player. Is that how it actually works on the field?
It does to a degree. Yeah, there's probably a little bit of truth in what Lee says. I haven't really studied that too much, but I think basically it's, you know, a club will only spend up to they possibly can. If they have to let a player go, they will. And then usually the money they save for that player, you're right, they'll either go and buy a player or might go and buy two players, depending on the amount. So, yeah, look, it's I think free agency is an interesting one. I'd like to see probably windows. A mid-season window and definitely an end-of-season window where the trading's done. I've got no problem with the free agency, but I just don't like the open trading at all times of the year. Yep. I think that's something the game's got to look at and they are looking at.
Just speaking of free agency and player movement, Jared, I was doing my notes for the Frank interview today and I thought, how can I get him on Cam Smith? How can I get him to say, well, Sam and Jared, this will be his last
And what did you come up with?
Well, I didn't come up with one. That's why I was telling you the story. Oh. Premierships 99, 07, 09, 12 and 17. So this could be number six and a runner-up four times. It could be number five. I mean, whichever way it finishes, if this is to be the end, Frank, it's just been a stunning career. But not that you need any more emphasis or any more encouragement for a grand final, but the mystery surrounding whether he's going on or not. How have you found that in the build-up to such a big game?
It's funny enough, Sam, we found it quite enjoyable. I think the people outside this bubble are probably struggling with it more and seems to make a few people frustrated and angry that he won't make a decision. But inside the bubble, it hasn't been a distraction at all. I think last Friday night was one of the most unique events that I've been involved with. We were all on the field thanking the crowd. And then it was on the field. Craig Bellamy said to me, this could be his last game at Suncorp Stadium. I think the player should cheer him off. And was because he said, look, he might regret this if he doesn't. So he went over to Cameron and said, look, if I'll organise the two vice captains and you have a chat to Cameron, if he's okay with it, we'll do it. And Cameron had a bit of a laugh and chuckle about it, but didn't protest too much. And the two vice captains came over and carried him off. And it was a really special time. And I think most of our players didn't know what was going on, but they just went along with the occasion. It was, and if it was to be his last game on Suncorp, which has been a really important stadium in his life, for, you know, he's a Queenslander, he's captain Origin there so many times, he's captain Australia, and we've had some great wins there over the years as well. So he's got some great memories of Suncorp Stadium. So if it is to be his last game, it was one hell of a way to finish.
So, Frank, where's this game going to be won and lost, if you can put it in some pretty simple terms for us?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt their key players are their two halves, especially Nathan Cleary. He's got an incredible kicking game, especially his short kicking game near the line. They've scored that many tries just from little kicks. He's definitely the danger. But they've got, you know, Kikau, who comes back from suspension on the right edge, is dangerous. And Crichton, their centre, a young centre, has been a real star for them this year. So they've across the field, they're dangerous. They're playing with plenty of confidence. I think we have to start well to start, you know, doubting their confidence a bit and lowering their energy a bit, being a big game. I think it's important. I think if we start well, you know, it'd hopefully be a good night for us. But if they start well, you know, it's going to be a tough game for us as well. So I think the start is really important this weekend.
I noticed Matty Tripp was in the local news during the week. Might have even been today where I read it suggesting, arguing that you could become the biggest footy club in the country. And just listening to Scoop reel off the victories that Cam Smith has had. You may well, and I haven't done the numbers, but probably Hawthorn would be your competitors.
Gone well past them.
As the most successful club in the last, or since your inception, which, what year was that again? It was early 90s from memory, wasn't it?
98.
So let's say in this century, you may well be the most successful club in the country. I haven't done the figures, but if you're not one, you'd be two.
Pretty close, yeah. He doesn't want to comment because he thinks, I think he was just agreeing with what you just said, Jared.
No, look, I think that's, yeah. Look, we're real proud of what we've achieved, Jared and Sam. There's no doubt about it. It's something that, you know, the culture that we've built. You know, our success is obviously important with premierships and grand finals and finals, but I think like a great thing is that ability to sustain success, and they're really tough to get into grand finals, even harder to win. So I think all you want to do with your support is to give your supporters an opportunity every year to know that you're doing your best and you're going to be up there competing. You know you're not going to win every year, but as long as you're up there. But I think it's Craig's ability to keep the players at a level that each season they're highly competitive and they're challenging for a premiership. And the other thing too, I think, which has been really rewarding is just the players developed. We're not a club that go and buy well-known players. We either buy young players or recycled players. So I think that's probably been Craig's greatest legacy. It's not so much his success record that everyone looks at it, but his ability to develop players from either those really young, raw players or those players that other clubs don't want.
Who actually recruits those players to get them? Does Craig actually cite them before he ticks off on it?
No, we've got a system like most clubs would do, Jared. We've got Paul Bunn, is our recruit manager, has been for 9 seasons, and we've got a pretty good list management committee. So basically, you know, we have a little cliche that talent will get it to the door, but to get through Craig's door, you've got to have character. Mm-hmm. So Craig does a fair bit. When the players get recommended to him by Paul and his staff of scouts, he very much looks into their character, their training ethics, does some homework on them, and then if passes, they tick all the boxes, and they get through the front door. But no, I think it's a great team effort. We've got a great bunch of scouts, and Paul Bunn does a great job as our head recruitment man.
Well, good luck, Frank. We've really appreciated having a chat to you each and every week. You've been very loyal to the program, and we always love having a chat to you. We learn something each and every time, and we're looking forward to chatting to you next Monday or Tuesday to get a lowdown on where you want it.
I hope you're right, Jared, and thanks for your support, you and Sam, and the show as well. Really appreciate it.
Good on you, Frank. Much deserved, and we'll both be barracking for you on the weekend. Frank Panisi there, the footy manager, the boss, the brains of the Melbourne Storm, and what an incredible run it would be for Cam Smith if he can just repeating those premierships, Jared. 99, and then a bit of a gap, 07, 09, 12 and 17. Runners up basically every other year, 06, 08, and then 2016 and 2018.
It's amazing,
it's a freakish run that he's been on, in either a grand final premiership or a grand final runner-up. Let's hope it's the former on the weekend. This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. It's been a jam-packed show. We are quickly running out of time, but we have always got time for the Chief down south, Jared.
The man that is going to officially be the communications officer of the new AFL franchise whenever that gets underway.
I think he's bigger than
that. There is a bit of mail going around. Mm. I'm just hearing some mail sort of just whispering in the green room in and around couch pre-production meetings.
Track watches.
Track watches indeed. That just be wary that there's not a little story bubbling away there. Let's welcome the Chief.
Jeez.
Chief, any developments on an AFL side down in Tassie?
Not that I'm aware of, Jared, but happy to take the news on board if you've got something.
No, if Chief doesn't know, it can't be happening, Jared.
I haven't got news, but look, it was probably just a little bit of probing on one of the pre-production meetings on Nick Riewoldt where...
North Melbourne?
He just sort of clammed up a little bit.
And he's on the Tassie committee.
He's on the Tassie committee. So
he might be the chief commissioner of Tasmania.
I may be misreading his clamming
I
up
see.
Or not, but I would just be watching that space closely because everybody thought the COVID crisis had pushed it back.
Yes.
Well, maybe some people down there think there's an opportunity to bring it forward.
Chief will do some sniffing around. Hey, Chief, we are a little bit shorter on time, so we might get straight into it. Obviously, grand final week, but also local footy finals. Are we grand final week down there as well?
Been and gone, Sam, but big couple of grand finals last weekend. We had the Tasmanian State League grand final, and North Launceston's dominant run has come to an end. They were looking for 6 out of the last 7 grand final wins on the weekend, but they were upstaged by their crosstown rivals, the Launceston Blues. So,
was anybody not barracking for the Launceston Blues?
The Blues got to win.
They got to win, absolutely. Under Mitch Thorpe, you might remember. Hawthorn draftee.
Number one, was he number one pick nationally or number three?
I think he was three.
Yeah, I reckon he was too.
He coached his team to a big win on the weekend, so well done to him. They've got some really good players amongst the Blues. And maybe it's a change in the guard, maybe not. We'll wait and see. A bit of a rumour going around today that Jay Schultz used to play for Port Adelaide and Richmond. He's definitely moving to Tasmania at the end of the year and could potentially suit up for one of those clubs, if not at least become a coach. His wife, I think, is from Tasmania.
Oh,
so there's a little bit of gossip that's going around this afternoon. But as far as the grand finals go, in the south as well, we had the Southern Football League grand final. That was won by Huonville against Cygnet. So the two teams from the Huon Valley went head-to-head in the grand final, and it was the Lions that got the chocolates in the end, despite losing to Cygnet a couple of weeks earlier in the semi-final to get to the grand final. So big, big win there for the Lions.
So a good start in the Sheffield Shield. Tassie right on top against South Australia.
Well, they'd want to be, because Chief 2 weeks ago declared that they were certainties, and then they lost their first game.
Well, they were always going to fight back. He was just giving them a little tickle up. But the major story coming out of that was not the bowling, not the line and the length of Peter Siddle, just simply the hair.
Yes, the hair's doing a bit, isn't it? So I'll tell you the big story out of it today. Timmy Payne, our boy, 111 not out, if you don't mind. I hope Alan Border is listening, because he put him right under the pump last week after 4-10 in the first game, I think he got, in the 2 innings he batted. So to get 111 not out, a great warm-up to the summer for him. Jake Doran also got a century. Ben McDermott, 90. Charlie Wakeham, 83. So batsman's paradise over there at the moment in South Australia. So at the moment, South Australia 1-60 in their second innings. Still trailing Tassie by 238 with 9 wickets in hand.
Oh, the Chief's got his team right back at 1-1 there. There's no doubt about that. Any big bash recruits down south?
Darwin Milan is on his way south, Sam, which is pretty exciting. The number one ranked T20 batsman in the world. We've signed him up for this summer, which is exciting. It sounds like Chris Jordan might be on his way too. So a couple of handy international signings there for the Hurricanes. And haven't had the best of luck with our international recruits over the journey. Obviously, Joffre Archer was a shining light, but Kumar Sangakkara came down and didn't really fire. Alex Hales didn't fire for us either when he came down. And just been players, obviously household names that just haven't clicked when they've arrived in Tassie. So fingers crossed we get another Joffre Archer here and those boys can and get it going for us this summer.
Righto, Chief. You've been great all year. Give us a grand final prediction and the Norm Smith medalist, please, as you leave us.
I will go... Geez, a lot to like about Geelong at the moment, isn't there? I might go the Cats. My preliminary final tips are ordinary, so I don't take this...
I didn't want to remind you about that, but we're looking for you to improve. And you're not allowed to use Dan's supercomputer. I want you to do this by yourself.
I'll go the Cats, and I might go Mitchy Duncan, I think, for the Norm Smith.
That's a good one.
Yeah, red-hot chance, you'd think.
What would he be?
Yeah,
I reckon he'd probably be 6th or 7th in the betting.
Yep.
Would be my guess.
I like the outsiders there. I love the outsiders in the Norm Smith.
You've always got to have two. You've got to back someone that you think will win it, and then you've got to have someone at $40.
Can I tell you about the story? I got an 80-1 chance up. He was playing fullback for Hawthorn.
Oh, Brian
Lynch. Ooh.
And he was just on open mic, I saw up there, which reminded me of him. Brian Lake at 80-1. What's that? Do you reckon we weren't cheering for him that day? It turned $5 into a nice return. Chief, have a great time grand final day. And think of us here in Melbourne as we cheer on our finals victor with one other person.
Good on you, boys. I better pack my bags. I'm heading up tomorrow. So looking forward to it. Sorry to rub it in. I know you're doing
nice
stuff over there.
Yeah, good
stuff. I thought I'd get out on the way out the door.
Yeah, real nice clip on the way out the door. We're out the door as well because we're out of time. This has been Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Jared and I will be back tomorrow from 6.